Well, we've been going through the book of Galatians here, and we're going to continue that this morning. We've looked at a couple of different questions. This might jog your memory. The first thing we looked at a few weeks ago was, what is your gospel? And we talked about a lot of different false gospels that people believe in, whether it's church membership or whether it's works or whether it's believing in a prayer or different things like that, believing in your baptism. And we talked about what is the true gospel. What is the gospel that Paul was teaching the Galatian church that they need to stay faithful to? And that was that Christ has given himself for our sins so that he could deliver us from this present evil age. God has gave himself, died on the cross for our sins so that he could deliver us from this present evil age. Then we looked at who is your teacher? Who is your teacher? And we talked about false teachers out there and people who desire to teach you and to put more things upon you. But we recognize that the only teacher that we should have is Jesus Christ. We must not follow anyone but Jesus. And then we thought about, well, what do we need a pastor up here for if we don't need a teacher? And we said we can recognize God's teaching in others and give God glory for that. But we must first be taught by Christ. He must be our teacher above all. And then last week we looked at what is your purpose? And we talked about how we must use our gifts and talents to reach others for Christ and to be faithful for God's plan for our life. So if you have missed one of those, I would highly recommend you go back and listen to them. You can get them on the website. But today we're going to look at the question, how are you justified? How are you justified? How are you made right before God and before man? A lot of us, I shouldn't say that. That's kind of setting you guys up. Many people walk around feeling as if they are very justified in what they do. Right? And they have a reason for that. It's not always a good reason, but they have a reason. And so the question is, what is your reason? Why do you feel justified in what you're doing? That's what we're going to look at this morning. And we want to give you the conclusion before we even get started. And that is, we must be justified by our faith, not our works. Galatians 2, 14 through 16, Paul is continuing to talk about the situation where Peter was being a hypocrite. He was going out and acting one way when the Gentiles were around, and then when the Jews came in, he would separate himself from the Gentiles and only be with the Jews. And so he was playing the hypocrite. And so Paul is continuing to talk about this. Galatians 2, 14 through 16 says, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." And Paul calls out Peter and he says, "Hey, you're trying to find justification in the law when you're around these Jewish people. And when you're over here, you're saying, 'Oh, hey, Gentiles, you need to do this over here. You need to act this way.' But once they leave, then he was going over here and saying, 'Oh, yeah, I'm just like you guys too. I've been freed from the law.'" And Paul is saying, what is it over here that you think that you're getting? What is it that you think you're accomplishing? And one of couple of questions that we can look and apply that to our own life, because we don't really have that conflict now between Jews and Gentiles, because, well, do you know, you guys know any Jews? Anybody know any Jews? I don't know any Jews either. So we don't really have that conflict here, and we don't really have it even in between Judaism and Christianity so much. But we can apply that same questioning or that same idea in asking these two questions. One is, are you holding others to a higher standard than you're holding yourself? And I'm pretty sure all of you in your mind are thinking, no, I'm not doing that at all. That would be wrong. I wouldn't do anything like that, right? But you might want to take a quick moment and think about, what are the things that get you upset? What are the things that make you angry? Have you ever done those things? And if the answer is yes, then you are holding people to a higher standard than you hold yourself. So we must not do that. We must not hold others to a higher standard than ourselves. We must not act one way towards ourselves and another way towards others. The second thing is, are you judging others' morality based on their looks or works? How are you judging others? When somebody comes into a room and you say, "Ho, not that person," right? I remember on Facebook, one of the Our Home kids that I'm friends with on Facebook posted this picture of this guy that's got tattoos everywhere, piercings everywhere. I mean, you could just tell he was going places in life. And the question was, you know, what would you do if your daughter brought this guy home, you know, from on a date or something like that, you know? And there was a lot of unpleasant comments out there, but I added my two cents, which was, I would have asked him, you know, what was the sale at the tattoo shop when he got all these tattoos, you know? Was it like buy one, get six free or something like that? Because, I mean, he just had them all over the place. But what is it that we are judging people based on? Are we looking at them and saying, oh, I can judge you based on your looks? Or are we judging them based on what they do, right? Are we judging, oh, this is a good person because he did these nice things for me? Oh, this is an evil person because they were mean to me. Are we making judgments about the morality of people? Now, the Bible says we should judge people by their fruit, right? But we shouldn't judge their morality. We should judge them in the sense of whether or not we should be around them, right? If somebody's lying all the time, you don't want to be around a liar because that'll rub off on you. But you shouldn't think of them in any other way than they're a person who needs the grace of God in their life, right? So we must not judge others' morality based on the same thing we want our morality based on. The next point is here, one is justified by faith, not by works. The next point is that we have died by faith. Paul continues, he says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So a lot of times as Christians, we say, okay, new believer or unbeliever, you are lost. You are guilty before God of your sin. And so what you need to do is come before God and ask for His forgiveness, and He will forgive you. And the unbeliever says, oh, that sounds like a great program. I remember when I was 4 years old, I said, that sounds like a great program. I want to sign up for that program. Right? A lot of people, if you ask them, do you want to sign up for that program to be forgiven for your sins for God just by asking, you're going to get a pretty overwhelming yes. Right? And then what we do is, okay, that is great. Now, let me tell you, in order to be a Christian, you have to do all these extra things. In order to really get to heaven, I mean, that's, you know, just the first prayer, that's kind of how you get initiated into the whole thing. But now there's a whole system of works. And if you don't do all these things, you're just not going to make it. I mean, you're just not going to get there. If you really want to be a Christian, you got to start counting up all the different pegs and notches that you've accomplished in the Christian life in order for you to make it to heaven. And Paul is saying, no, that is not at all it. And then somebody else will say, no, wait a second. If we don't have people doing all these works, they're just going to go off back to sinning again. And we can't have that. And Paul says, no, that's not what we want either. Neither of those is what we want. What he's saying is that we have died to that old way of thinking. We have died to that old self where I have to be the one in charge. I have to be the one accomplishing everything. Paul says, no, that's not the system. He says, I've destroyed that old way of thinking. I've destroyed that idea that my desires are going to rule my decision making. And now I am living by faith in Christ. When I make decisions, I'm saying, okay, what does God want me to do? Right? It's not about works. It's about following my Savior. It's about following Jesus, who is my Redeemer. And so we have to ask the question, have we destroyed the old way? Have you destroyed the old way? Or did you pray that prayer and get back up and say, okay, God, let me tell you how this is going to go. I'm going to do what I want to do. You're going to do what you want to do. I'll give you one day a week, Sunday. Right? And then we're going to be good. I prayed my prayer, and now we're good to go. I can do whatever I want to. Or did you destroy the old way and say, you know what, God? Every time I make a decision, I mess it up. So I'm going to stop making decisions. I'm going to start allowing you to make the decisions in my life. I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to do what you want me to do. Because you are my Lord and my Savior. And then the second question is, are you building that old way back up again? Right? Remember from the parable, right? There's the seed that falls on the thorny ground, right? And it comes up and then it gets choked out, right? And a lot of times, new believers, and even old believers sometimes who haven't matured in their relationship with God, they're walking along and they're saying, man, this whole new thing is just awesome. I love the Christian. I love going to church and meeting with my Christian friends. I love listening to Christian radio and it's positive and uplifting. And I love just being known as a Christian because people like me better. There's just so many great things about being a Christian. And then some trial or tribulation comes into our life. And instead of thinking, oh God, what are you wanting me to do in this situation? We say, you know what? I know how to fix this. Let me go back to the old way of doing things over here, and I will fix it on my own. And then when I get it fixed, then I'll come back over here to my Christian life. Yeah, sure. Live. But Christ who lives in me. Then Paul talks about how not only are we justified by faith, not only do we, but we also are made into, we are become a part of God's family by faith. It is by faith that God makes us into His family. In Galatians Is that me? Okay. Galatians chapter 3 says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit and are now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." So Paul is saying, hey, you started out in your Christian walk by faith. You received the Holy Spirit into your life by faith. Do you think now all of a sudden you have to turn to works in order to be made perfect? Because God wants to grow us up into Christ, right? And Paul is saying, well, if you started out by faith and you received the Holy Spirit and he is teaching you by faith, do you think now all of a sudden he's going to teach you that it's all about works? Does that make any sense? No, that doesn't make any sense. It's always been about faith. Even when it was under the law, it was about faith. He says that even Abraham was justified by faith. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Even under the law, it was still by faith. So the question is, how are you being made perfect in your spiritual walk? In your journey, when you walk around and you see other people and you think to yourself, man, I'm a good person. How do you justify that you are a good person? Are you looking to your works and saying, wow, I just really made it. I mean, I just really am such a good person. I mean, if you followed me around for a day, you would be so impressed by me. I mean, is that what you think? Or maybe you think, you know what? I'm not that great of a person, but have you seen all the people around me? I mean, they are such miserable losers. Right? And we look around at the people around us and we say, wow, I've really got it together because, I mean, I don't think I'm that smart, but everybody else, wow. I mean, the competition is not that great. And a lot of times, that's what we think. We either think so greatly of ourselves or we think so poorly of others that we justify ourselves. And Paul is saying that is not the case at all. We must be made perfect, not in our works, not according to the rules, but according to our faith in God, because that's where our righteousness comes from. It comes from Jesus. The only way we're getting to heaven is by Jesus. And so we must always be made perfect by faith. Everything that we're doing it because we know that God wants us to do that. And the second question is, how can you receive God's blessing in your life? Who wants to receive a blessing from God? Everybody? Man, that's great. Me too. And I can tell you that the Pharisees had a whole bunch of works that they could tell Jesus about how great they were. Right? And was Jesus really impressed by all their works? No. Because they were all outward. They were all just for show. But in their heart, it was ugly. It was nasty. It hadn't been swept or washed in years. And so, in order to receive God's blessing in our life, it's not about our works, it's about our faith. God's word in our life. God wants us to obey Him, and then when we obey Him, then He brings blessing. If you go back to the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, He says, Deuteronomy 28, He says, I set before you blessing and a curse. Your choice. If you walk according to my ways, I will bless you. If you do not walk according to my ways, I will curse you. A blessing and a curse. And so how do we receive that God blessing from God? And if I'm not sure this is what God wants me to do, and I say, okay, maybe I should wait. Maybe I should wait on this. Right? Or maybe I'm going to continue down this road waiting for a confirmation from God. It doesn't mean we just lay in bed all day long waiting to hear God's voice. Get out of bed. Okay, God, I'm ready to get out of bed now. No, it's we're out working, we're out doing, we're out serving God, but we're always listening, always acting in faith that this is what God wants us to do. Now the fourth one, number four, is living by faith. Living by faith. In Galatians chapter 3:10 through 14 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by faith."
Oh, man. What are you carrying then? What are you carrying there, my friend?
A load of burden.
Oh, put the burdens down. Do you remember? Jesus died on the cross. We don't have to carry those burdens around.
So I don't have to carry my burdens around?
No, no way. No way. Set your burdens down. Jesus took and paid the price.
Boy, that's a relief. Thank you, God.
Okay, that's great. I hear you just got saved. Did you just get saved there? I overheard you guys talking there. Did you receive Jesus? And did He take care of those burdens for you?
Yeah, I asked
those
God.
Burdens of sin?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's so exciting. Better. You feel better?
Yeah, a lot better.
Oh, man, that is, come right up here, man. That's awesome. Now, the Christian life is so wonderful. I mean, it is really amazing. Just to think how much Jesus loves us. And He died for us, right? Now you're going to want to please Him, right?
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got some books here for you. And the first one is the Bible. Now the Bible is God's Word. And you're going to want to obey that, right? Because God says that you got to obey the Bible, right? Now there's different versions here. So I got you a couple of different versions. Because there's, you know, the NIV, there's the King James Bible, there's the ESV, and you know, there's different versions there. You might have a couple other versions, you know, that you like. But it's always good to have a couple of different versions. Now, being a new Christian, you're not going to know very much about the Bible. So we got a Bible dictionary here, okay? And that's going to be able to allow you to look up the different words in the Bible that you don't understand. And you're going to be able to know what those words mean. So that's great. And then we have a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, okay? That's going to allow you to look up some of the Greek words in the Bible so that you know what it means and that the dictionary is actually true when it told you what that word means. And so this is a great... If you don't read this, you're probably not going to make it. You're going to need all these things right here. Okay? So this is a great starter pack for a new Christian. Okay? And, you know, just to make... Because you don't want to miss out on God's blessings. Right? And you don't want to miss out on heaven. Now, I hear that everybody who reads all these books, is for sure getting into heaven. So, make sure you read all these books, okay?
Okay.
Now, we also have, Jesus, he died on the cross, and he did a lot of great stuff, okay? But since then, there's been a lot of people that have really helped Christianity grow and help us understand. And this guy, John Calvin, he lived a few, it was like 500 years ago, but he wrote these commentaries, okay? Now, when you're reading the Bible, there might be some concepts that you're not going to understand. Sometimes Jesus and Peter and all those apostles, they can be really confusing. So we have Calvin's commentaries, and there's a whole set of them, and they are just great. You're going to want to carry those around with you, and you're going to want to read them, and you're going to, maybe even commit some of them to memory. So we got that. You're not going to want to miss out on that. And then we have some other books here that you're going to want to get to. The Old Testament, the New Testament, that was a long time ago. Moses, he probably lived 1500 B.C. How much do you know about 1500 B.C.?
Not much.
Not much, yeah. Okay, so we're going to need to know about encountering the Old Testament and encountering and these actually have CD-ROMs in here. You're going to want to check those out. They're really nice. But I got a little bag here for you. We'll just put together a few things here. Now we got the inspiration and authority of Scripture. Okay, now this is a great book that helps you to understand that what you're reading in the Bible is actually true. You just can't take it by faith. You got to know, right? And there's a lot of great arguments in here. You don't want to miss out on that. Definitely going to need to read that. Now we also have biblical counseling. Okay, there's a lot of ideas out there in the world. And if you follow those, you're definitely not going to heaven. You're definitely going to hell. So the first thing you're going to want to do is read this book for yourself so you can counsel yourself and figure out how to help yourself. And then you're going to want to read it again so you can help other people because, they probably might think they're Christians, but they're not really Christians, so you're definitely going to want to read that twice before you can get anywhere. Now, we talked about the Old Testament, but the New Testament, that was written during right around the turn of before the Common Era, after the Common Era, before Christ, after Christ. And so Christ was born probably about 4 B.C. Did you know that? You didn't know that? Okay, see, you're going to need to do a lot more studying here. And one of the things you're going to need to do is learn the Greek language. Okay, the Greek is what Jesus spoke in. Also Aramaic, but that's kind of a secondary. We don't really do that. Christians, we learn the Greek language. Okay, so I got Greek for the rest of us. That's probably a good one to start with. Basics of Biblical Greek, you're going to want to work your way into that one. And then the Complete Vocabulary Guide to the Greek New Testament. This, when you get to here, now you're probably getting into the Christian level, okay? That's, I hear for every book on Greek that you read, they add another level of mansion to your home in heaven. You don't want to be just a ranch style. You want the double, triple, quadruple decker. So you're going to want to get these, read these. And make sure, now, theology. Now, that's a big word that scares a lot of people. Here's a book, Moody Handbook of Theology. Now, if you don't read this, you're not going to know about what you believe as a Christian, okay? So if you don't read this, you're probably not actually going to be a Christian because you won't know what you believe, so you won't know how to believe to be a Christian, okay? So we got the Moody Handbook of Theology. That's going to tell you what you need to know to be a Christian. That's a great one. Now, when you go out into the world, okay, and you're, maybe telling people that you just became a Christian and everything, right? Well, there's other people that believe in other gods. It's absolutely crazy, but they do. So we got this book, The Bible, about the God of the Bible and other gods. We got divine foreknowledge. Some people are going to ask, how does God know everything? So there's different, everybody doesn't agree on that, right? So you got to know what everybody else knows about God's foreknowledge, so that way you can tell everybody about the different options that you have. Foreknowledge. And then, as you're getting out there talking to people, you're going to come across cults. Because there's a lot of people that believe a lot of strange things, you have to read all these books in order to be a Christian. And so you're going to want to make sure that you got this one, cults and isms. Okay? And then, you might as well, because you might have Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses stop by, and we don't want to fall prey to them. So there's also this other book, Reasons Skeptics Should Consider Christianity. So that way you can, might as well know it all. And while you're at it, speaking of knowing it all, we got the Philosophical Foundations for a Christian Worldview. So that way, not only can you believe in Jesus, but you know all the good reasons, philosophical reasons, to know why Christianity is true. And then we also have Christian theology in plain language. Now, theology is actually just Christian philosophy. That's what theology is. It's just the fill up for you. Go ahead and see you. Now, if you can, hurry up and get through all those, because we can't witness to anybody else until you bring them all back, because, you know, we don't want anybody to miss out on any of all those things.
Yeah, I understand.
So go ahead and try to read those just as quickly as you possibly can. Okay, thank you so much. Hey, glad to hear the good news that you received, that you had lost your burdens. Lost the burdens at Calvary. That's just amazing.
Oh, my friend, why are you carrying these burdens? I thought you were to put them down. It's not by works that you are saved. It's by faith. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Look to Jesus. Look to the cross. Please set them down. You don't need them. Oh. Walk by faith, not by works. Thank you.
Okay, very, very good. Thank you. Let's give them a hand. Living by faith. That's what it's about. It's not about all these rules that we have to add on to make ourselves a good person so that we can find value in our own self. It's always about looking to Jesus and saying, Jesus, you are the reason I do everything. Living by faith. Now, those tools there that are in those bags, those are great tools to help us understand more about our faith. But if we're finding value in ourselves because we read those tools, we've got it all wrong. It's always about our faith in Christ. Galatians 3:10 through 14 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." If you're trying to make it on your own good work, you are under a curse. "For it is written, 'As cursed is everyone who does not continue to do in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith. For the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So it is by faith that we are saved. It is not of works. It is not of a list of things. It is by faith. Putting our faith in Jesus and then following Him each and every day. Each and every way. And so we must ponder, how do you live by faith? How do you live by faith? If it's not by carrying all these burdens around, how is it that we can live by faith? It's by following Jesus every step, by looking to Him for our guidance, for our direction, following Him, learning from Him, loving Him, hearing Him. The last question is, have you received the promise? The promise is greater than the law. The promise of God's blessing is greater than the Old Testament law. We're going to look at that more next week. But have you received the promise? Many people have received the law. They understand good works and they understand the moral system. They say, oh yeah, I agree. Yeah, we shouldn't kill people. Yeah, we shouldn't do that. But many have not yet received the blessing. Knowing that following Jesus, following God, trusting in Him, doing what He wants us to do, that we can be saved. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, You are an amazing God. Lord, You desire to free us from the burdens that we carry in our life. Whether that burden is guilt, Whether that burden is depression, fear, anxiety, Lord, you come into our life to free us. You say that we must pick up your burden, but it is so light. Lord, man wants to add so much to your burden, and we must not allow it. We must stay focused on the joy in being in Christ, so that we might know you, the one true God, and not some perversion of the gospel where man comes in and tries to add all of these different things. Lord, and when we look at our brother, help us not to judge them by being in the same place where we were, but help us to encourage them in their faith, encourage them in their walk. Each of us struggle in different ways, Lord. Help us not to be conceited, but help us to be full of grace and mercy as you are full of grace and mercy. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, stand for our last song.